Once upon a time, love erupted like a mighty roar. A ball of living, breathing light exploded into the universe of fire and ice, suns and moons, planets and animals, you and me. And since that first moment, love has known itself and expanded itself through us. And so we can rejoice in our divine birthright as children of love's first light. Good morning, everyone. Oh, come on. After that music, that's what you get. That's what I get. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Today, I'm Reverend Hank Peirce. I am your sabbatical minister. And as you can tell, it's a very special episode of Blossom today. No, it's a very special worship service today with the jazz band here, your own jazz band. And so I'm going to try to do as little speaking as possible because you know, this is great. So with that said, oh, let me remind you all to please turn off your cell phones, and also I also want to remind folks or let folks know that this is an intergenerational service, so there is nursery care downstairs for little kids. But if kids get restless, it's okay; they'll play louder. It's okay; all is well. Play louder. All right, there you go. And with that, Jolene, do you mind lighting the chalice? I don't think we have a chalice lighter for this morning. The words for our chalice lighting come from the Unitarian minister and mystic Jones Very, who wrote, "I saw on earth another light than that which lit my eye come forth as from my soul within and from a higher sky." Now, if you look in your order of service, you will see that there are two announcements in there about search committees. One is that your board is putting together the search committee for the settled ministry. And the members of the board are going to be in coffee hour, in both coffee hours, to answer questions. And you may also see that in there the interim search committee, who are going to be looking for as your interim minister for next year, is also going to be at both coffee hours. And I'm going to ask both committees to stand very far apart. And so I get confused because it is so easy to get them confused. But it's a really important thing to have an interim search committee looking for the interim minister and have a settled search committee looking for your settled minister. Their jobs are somewhat similar, but at the same time, they both have different tasks. And the process that we use is one that goes back, all the way back to the Puritans, the people who founded this church. It's the congregational polity, right? The congregation gets to decide who your next minister is, right? The congregation will vote on members of the search committee, and then that search committee will go out and interview people, and they'll come back with a candidate, and that candidate's going to come here, and they're going to meet all of you, and then you, members of this congregation, get to decide whether or not you want that person to be your minister or not. What an amazing thing! What an amazing thing that you have that power. In other traditions, it's the bishops or someone else who gets appointed and they hand select people. They think, well, this person needs to go here, that person needs to go there. Sometimes that sort of advice is good, but sometimes it really isn't. And I thought that one of the things I want to tell you all is how, in the Egyptian Coptic Church, right? So this is the Christian church, ancient Christian church in Egypt, how they choose their pope, who is like the head person in their whole faith, right? He's the guy at the top. We don't have a hierarchy like that, but they do. And what they do when they need to be a new pope, they call together all the bishops, they call together all the deacons of all the churches, all the ministers and priests of all the churches. They also call together all of the lay leaders. And they have this giant convention, and they talk, and they sort of say, okay, who should we talk, who should we think about? And they end up with three names. They do their due diligence. They sort of say, what would it be like to have this person be our pope, or that person be our pope? They come down to three names. And then they take those three names, and they write them down on slips of paper, and they put them in glass globes. And then they put them in a hat. And then they invite a young child to come up and reach into that hat and pull out a name. And I thought that that's something that we could do here. And so, oh, here's the thing. So I went down to the army closet this morning, where most ministers fear to tread. It's like the room of requirements. I tell you, you walk in, you go, I'd like to have these. And so who is who's the youngest person here? Who's the youngest person? Who's two? It has to be you. Say the name. Okay, can they raise your hand? I don't know who they are. I see a little hand here. Eve, would you reach in to this hat and pull out one of these? One of these things? But no help.
Sit down and shut up.
Thank you.
Spirit of truth and love within our loving hearts and our living hearts, we pledge our faithfulness to those today who bear burdens too heavy to be borne alone. In the countless ways we may live our lives, enable us to find strength to do our duty. For those who bear the weight of illness, often unknown to others, sustain and uphold. For those who bear a scar in the soul, torturing and searing the inner life, bring unity and peace. For those who stand at the brink of some momentous decision, bring clarity and inner resolution. For those who walk in the shadows of fear, bring wisdom. Spirit of our secret and open quest for meaning and strength, be with us and in us and around us. This morning we hold in our loving hearts Melanie Roachford, and whose mother Joyce died unexpectedly this past week. We ask for mercy and grace and love for Melanie and Gina and all those who love Joyce. We are grateful for the love of family. We are grateful to be able to live where people are engaged in the life of the society. We hold in our prayers also those who've had surgery and those who are battling illnesses. Thou, source of our singing and perfect receiver of our offering of song, we rejoice with thanksgiving. All creatures offer praise with rejoicing. All creatures suffer hurt and take mourning music out of their, to make mournful music of their misery. We ask for no single tone of life. We know that tone and time must ever change, sometimes bitter, sometimes serene. But we pray that the singing may never end, that bright songs and sad songs may arise from the fountain of our lives, all of our days. In the first cries of infancy and the songs of childhood, in the music of our years of strength and in the voices of our oldest age, we offer our thanksgiving unto you, Master Singer, the eternal music. Amen.
Thank you.
The reading this morning comes from the Christian scriptures from the book of Matthew, the Transfiguration. 6 days later, Jesus went up the top of a high mountain with Peter, James, and John. And there something spectacular happened. Jesus' face began to glow and gleam and shine like the morning sun. His clothes gleamed as well, bright white like sunlight mirroring off a snowfall. He was, in a word, transfigured. Suddenly, there at the top of the mountain were also Moses and Elijah, those icons of faith beloved of God. And they talked to Jesus. Peter said, "Lord, how amazing that we are here to see these heroes of our faith, these men through whom God spoke. Should I quickly build some shelter, 3 small tabernacles for you and Moses and Elijah?" And as Peter spoke, a bright cloud enveloped them. A voice from within the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were scared out of their wits. And Jesus came up and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they raised their eyes, they saw nobody except Jesus all by himself. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them strict instruction, "Don't tell anyone of this vision." So ends our reading. Playing jazz is like being on fire. You can't grasp the flames. You can only try to contain the panic, the notes spilling frantically everywhere from your fingers, and it also eventually kills you. There's something sacred in the art of jazz improvisation. If you are performing jazz right, with the right intention, the right audience, and the right inclinations, then the universe contracts. Time expands. Boundaries melt. Identities become fluid. Chord progressions still have meaning in the strictest sense, but are no longer definitive and without the forceful authority that they wield in the classical paradigm. In jazz, in Christ, and in the absence of a hierarchical force, subcultures hidden beneath the institutional artifice of meter and mode are allowed to emerge. New harmonies are discovered, and soloists overcome the hierarchies of human functions. In the deep waters of the fluid and prophetic will, there the Holy Spirit moves intently. Jazz is theology. It is philosophy. It is critical theory. Nothing is off limits. "When the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, my trumpet, and all things are created good," even, arguably, inspired in the Spirit. Jazz, or what is the essence of artful jazz form, is the existential function of the psalmist, the Dharma, the Tao. Isn't that great? What a great description of what inspired music feels like. Now, that reading from the Bible, well, that was a little odd, wasn't it? With Jesus getting all glowy. I guess, in comparison, though, maybe these two readings, the first from the scriptures, the second one by a man named Evan Kappenberger, they're not really all that different, except for the fact that we experience jazz, so we kind of understand that second reading a little bit better. We're experiencing that better this morning, in part because most of us have not had a vision of Moses and Elijah. But then again, why should we take the descriptions from the Bible as being literal? We don't do that with a description of jazz. The truth is that it's hard to talk about the Spirit, whether we're talking about the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of jazz. The Spirit is not something that we Unitarian Universalists tend to talk about. As one theologian has written, "Trying to pin down a definition of the word spirit is like trying to give a cat a shower. It can be done, but only with great difficulty, and no one is sure if they have thoroughly completed the task." That passage that I read from Matthew is called the Transfiguration. And the only time in Western literature that that word transfiguration shows up is in the scriptures. And who else can tell me where else transfiguration shows up? Oh, come on. Harry Potter. Harry Potter, yeah. Harry Potter. That's right. Yeah, exactly. And so what did that story tell us? Sure, it was put in there to give credence to the idea that Jesus is some sort of supernatural force. But also, it's showing us that Jesus is able to transform. And since there's this ongoing theme in the book of Matthew of God is with us, it could be seen as an example of Jesus showing us that it is easy for us to change as well, that we can change. Maybe not, it's not easy, but we can change as well. We can transform our lives. But when we see transformation happens, what do we do? What happens? We become more often than not, instead of being inspired to transform ourselves, we go, wow, like Peter did, wow, let me put up a tent. Let me build 3 temples honoring you. Let me just stay here, not be transformed. That seems like a lot of work. That's what we do, we humans. We don't really want to change, in part because we don't really know what that means. We don't know where that might lead us, right? We want to be rational. We want to have measurable outcomes to things, which is great if you want to build a temple, but maybe not if you want to try to capture fire with your bare hands. We, all of us human beings, we need to be a bit more open to letting go. We have to be willing to make some space to allow the Spirit to work. Just like I told in the story this morning for our young folks, there needs to be some space for the Holy to act. Now, you all in this church are about to enter a time of transition, and your search committee will be doing lots of hard work over the next year. They'll be researching and questioning, creating a picture of who you are today, and trying to suss out where you want to go and who you want to be in the years to come. And then then they will try to find a minister who can help you get to that place. And my advice to the members of that committee, whoever they will be, and to all of you during this time of transition, is to leave some space for the Spirit, however you want to define that. It could be God, it could be a gut feeling. But leave some space in your work. Do your due diligence in sussing out a vision for this community once Tom has retired. Do the work that needs to be done, but do not rely only on what looks good on paper. How many of you are baseball fans, right? Yeah. So do you know it was a book and a movie, but it's a whole idea called Moneyball, right? Moneyball was a book about and a movie about Billy Beane, who was the general manager, still is, I think, the general manager out in Oakland with the Oakland Athletics. And he uses all sorts of high-tech analysis and evidence-based measurement and all these weird baseball statistics to put together his teams. And it's interesting. And actually, the Red Sox used some of those ideas in when they finally won the World Series. But it was Billy Beane who came up with this idea and who follows it to the letter. And Billy Beane has never won the World Series. He's never put together a team that has won the World Series because he was too focused on numbers and not enough on team chemistry. Right? The Red Sox won with numbers, but also with those cowboy up idiots too. Right? You have to leave some space for the Spirit to act. You have to listen for the notes that aren't there, the notes that aren't being played. Or as the late Leonard Cohen wrote, "Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything, and that's how the light gets in." Amen. Thank you.